Pause for a moment before we turn to the Word, and if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and begin to turn to Joshua chapter 1. We're going to continue in there today, but I wanted to just remind us why we gather. If you came in today and you were feeling confident or carrying uncertainty, I just want to assure you, you don't have to have everything settled to be here and to be able to be present and participate with us, because the God that we're worshiping is the one who's present with His people. He meets us with His grace before He ever asks us to take a step forward. And that's going to be good news for us as we continue in this passage today, because our hope is simply that you would sense God's nearness as we listen to His word and we seek to respond rightly together. We're in the midst of, I mentioned this earlier in the morning, we're in the midst of our 21 days of prayer, and next week we'll begin our week of fasting. But I want to continue with this theme of hunger in our pastoral prayer today. I want to focus particularly on Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, where it says this, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so today we'll pray that God deepens our dependence and He satisfies the hunger that we have for Him. So would you join me in this pastoral prayer? Father, You are the one who sustains us. Every breath, every morning, every mercy that is new. Lord, we receive it from Your hand. You spoke the world into being, and You continue to speak life to Your people. We don't live by bread alone. We live because You speak to us, because You have drawn near. So today we bring You our weariness, our limitation, longings. We admit how often we try to carry what is too heavy. We try to manage what is too much. We try to fix what we cannot control. We confess how easily we reach for distraction instead of drawing near. But You are patient, and You invite us again to come, to listen, to receive what is good. You've given us Jesus, the bread of life from heaven, the Word made flesh, our life, our portion, our Prince of Peace. Because He's done what we could never do, we don't have to prove our worth. We don't have to come in and being strong, we simply have to come. So we ask, as we draw near to You, deepen our dependence on You. Teach us what it means to abide. Make Your word more necessary to us than success or control or comfort. Where we're tired, give rest. Where we're anxious, speak peace. Where we're hungry, feed us again with what truly satisfies. We wait for You, not as a last resort, but as people who know where their strength comes from. You are our portion. You alone are our hope. You are enough. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our daily bread, our living Word. Amen. Church. Thank you for joining with me in that. You know, as we continue into our Joshua series, we're just starting the second week, and over the next couple of weeks, you'll actually have the opportunity to hear from Shane Cahoot as he brings the word the next couple of weeks. But I want to just begin this morning by considering the subject of fear. Fear. There are things that we face in life that may make us afraid, like jump scenes. I was at a movie last night with my daughter and a friend of hers, and there was a jump scene in the midst of this movie, and that can say, well, that scared me, it made me afraid. But that's not the fear that I'm necessarily talking about. We can face fears like, will my job provide enough for what my family needs? That's a very real fear. It's a very real circumstance many of us either have walked through or currently walking through, or perhaps are even in the midst of being prepared to walk through in the future. What about that fear that happens, parents, you may know this moment, when your child drives away for the first time? All right, sounds like I found one there. And you begin to wonder, I think I've shared this illustration before, like, did I mean it at their baby dedication? That God, this is Your child more than it's my child, and yet I want control. Perhaps it's just me. Those are real fears that we face in life. We were in community group the other night, and I was expressing to the group one of the fears that I've been talking with Stephanie about, just as we're in so much of a transition in our season of life, and Sometimes they can be rational, sometimes they can be irrational, and yet at the same time they're fears. What about the fear that is existential? The one that doesn't necessarily raise its voice but speaks softly with careful logic and maybe even what may be considered like wise or reasonable language. The fear that sounds like patience, the fear that says this is actually responsibility or wisdom, yet beneath the surface, this fear exerts an influence quietly over how it is that we live and obey. Joshua chapter 1, verses 3 through 9 today address that inner influence. We consider that Israel stands on the edge of promise. God's spoken clearly, and the future lies before them in an open way. But what God addresses first is not strategy or strength, but where their confidence lies. And I just appreciate how our worship team has already been serving us this morning when we talk about we trust and we believe and we seek to obey out of that trust and belief. But God speaks, in speaking to Joshua, he speaks to the inner posture that will either support obedience or slowly erode it in the people of God. In other words, this passage is going to show us how it is that God forms courage in his people, the courage that he calls us to. He does so through promises that establish the right source of our confidence, through his word that shapes our obedience, and through his presence that steadies our hearts in time of toil or tumult. Now, all of this we're going to see finds its fulfillment in Christ, who gives people rest and freedom from fear. We'll look a little bit more at the definition of that in just a moment. But before Joshua ever leads people forward, God addresses what is shaping him inwardly, and I believe he wants to do that through his word for us as his church today. I hope you've had a chance to turn there, but Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised Moses. For from the wilderness, in this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, fear is described in this passage, even if it's not specifically named. When God is telling Joshua not to be frightened or dismayed, he's addressing more than just an emotion or something that frightens him in the moment. He's speaking to how Joshua is relating to the responsibility and uncertainty and obedience that he's being called to in this new role that he has in leading the people of Israel. In this passage, fear functions as a reduced confidence in God that quietly shapes the decisions that Joshua may be making in the days ahead. In other words, it's narrowing the trust, but it's magnifying the consequences. It's pulling Joshua's heart towards securing outcomes through caution rather than through obedience. Now, I think we can all say here, for Joshua, this fear would be understandable. He's carrying the weight of leadership. He faced opposition. He inherited responsibility without full clarity about how events would unfold. So fear would have tempted him to slow obedience or maybe even say, I'm resolved-ish in what we're going to be moving toward. But God speaks directly toward that inward pull in Joshua. And as such, he speaks to that inward pull in each one of us today. He doesn't shame Joshua. No, God seeks to strengthen him through his presence. And so with this fear named clearly, God speaks the promises that restore his confidence in his direction. Let's look at verses 3 through 5 where God promises are what establishes the confidence. God tells Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given to you. Do we realize that when this promise is given, the land that they are being called to remains occupied? It's not like it's just some plot of land sitting there for them to go, mine. He's not playing capture the flag on a field that's not already filled with people. No, there's occupation there. In other words, the challenge that lies ahead of him is real. But God speaks to it with a certainty that is settled in his covenant promises. His promise reaches back to what he pledged to Abraham generations earlier, and it carries forward into this present moment. God's promises establish the direction before their circumstances change. I wonder how often we face this in our own lives. There may be something that you're walking through right now where you have a contract in place, or perhaps that's for some work that's happening, or in some transaction in life, and there's a contract that's already in place, but that contract is a future role or a future commitment. But daily decisions begin to align with the promise of that contract coming to fulfillment, maybe even before it arrives. I think about those that deal with contracts in their workplace. There's a contract that's signed, and so you begin to shape your efforts toward what you need to give yourself to in order to fulfill that contract. Your planning shifts, your priorities adjust, your confidence begins to grow. We face these moments in our own life just in daily tasks, and what they point us to are the covenant promises of God. What they're intended to do is almost be an analog of the spiritual reality of the covenant promises of God. They operate in the same way. They shape present obedience by securing a future certainty. God promises success. He tells Joshua, yes, opposition will happen, but it will not overturn what God intends to accomplish. Yes, resistance will be there, but God's purposes still stand. And then God speaks the promise that carries the greatest weight. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. This promise grounds everything else. Joshua's confidence doesn't rest in his ability. It doesn't rest in some outcome that he's able to produce through his own efforts. No, his confidence rests in God's faithful presence. That faithful presence continues for us today, church. God honors Moses as his servant and continues his work through Joshua. God advances his purposes with continuity and faithfulness. But promises alone aren't going to produce courage. Now God shows Joshua how courage is formed and sustained. And we see in verses 6 through 8 how courage takes shape through God's word. God calls Joshua to strengthen courage with urgency, and we know that it's urgent because of the repetition that's used. At three different times in this few verses, we're actually told to be strong, be courageous. Courage here is sustained through trust, and it's expressed through Joshua's obedience in his role. Joshua's instructed to observe the law, all that is written in the law. He is to keep God's word constantly before him. He's to speak it, to meditate on it, to allow it to shape his judgment. And that same call remains for us today, church. There is no greater weight or measure in the life of the church, more importantly in the life of each individual believer that makes up this local church, than the word of God. It's everything to us. It's the very formative center of Joshua's leadership. As I was thinking about this in preparation for this week, I thought about those emergency responders and how they're often the ones that, even as we pray for them in pastoral prayers, as we thank them for their service, as we think about the sacrifice that some of them have been called to make and the ultimate sacrifice of their lives, what is one thing that is regularly said? When everybody else is running away from danger, what are they doing? They're running toward it. Why? Because it's almost reflexive for them. It's one of those things that they've been exposed to so much, they know exactly what to do in that moment. They train until their responses become instinctive. It's not something they have to sit there and think about, like, let me evaluate this situation. No, they're going in, they're moving toward what needs to be addressed. In moments of pressure, their training directs their action. Preparation shapes the response long before crisis arrives. The Word of God can be that same kind of training ground for us as believers. It's not the place to turn after some problem has arisen. It's the place to be before the problem becomes a problem in the first place. It's the place to saturate our mind and our thoughts and our emotions by. God's Word forms the inner reflexes of our faith. It shapes how we're called as God's people to respond when obedience feels more demanding than what we think that we can give. Joshua's prosperity and success are defined by an alignment with God's purposes. This isn't a prosperity or success that is given to us as some sort of wealth or treasure or anything like that. As a matter of fact, the prosperity of this gospel will not find its fulfillment until the consummation and the glorification of the people of God when we are drawn back up into heaven in right relationship with Him, no longer veiled from His presence. And so today we obey in hope because of the grace that fuels us through the Word of God. His obedience keeps Him positioned under God's blessing and guidance, and we realize that this is a part of that covenantal language again. That exclusive relationship between God and His people that we now live under the good of in the new covenant today, even as we'll celebrate in a few moments in communion. God's Word becomes the steady rhythm, the pulse that sustains the courage of Joshua across time. What is your pulse based on today, church? Your circumstances? That promise in the future? Or the very Word of God given to us as life and breath. What God's going to do now is anchor Joshua's obedience in the promise that steadies fear at its deepest level, because God's presence is what sustains courage. God asked Joshua, we're going to see this in verse 9, to recall what has already been spoken, and then he reinforces it with a command to live in confidence. He says this, "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Today, church, this can be a tremendous encouragement and a comfort for us as we go out of these back and or front doors of this sanctitorium. I don't know. Gymuary. This room, it is a multi-purpose room, which means it's good at a lot of things and great at nothing. "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go" is a promise that walks out of these doors with you. There's a benediction already this morning for those who believe in Christ, for those who follow Christ, for those who are being discipled by Christ. He is with you wherever you go. Good news, church. Good word. Needed word to sustain courage and trust. God's presence accompanies Joshua into every known and unknown space. And that presence steadies his courage. It strengthens his obedience. I think about the hiker that may be going on a trail that they've never been on before. And in the midst of that, they're going with their guide and leading the way. But as they go along and they notice something, that the terrain is uneven. The path is unfamiliar. And even as you move about the trail and go about different elevations, what happens is the variation of visibility. It changes as you move. Where do you find your confidence in that moment? Probably not by what you see. You don't find your confidence in what you're able to see every turn ahead. No, your confidence would come from trusting the guide who knows the way. This is where there's comfort for us, church. As we go out and the presence of God goes with us everywhere that we go, you have that guide so that you can have that confidence that He will lead you and guide you in the way everlasting. God doesn't promise Joshua a detailed map of every challenge. Wouldn't that be wonderful, church? Wouldn't we begin to depend on that map more than we depend on the God who draws it out for us? And so here we're called to trust in the promise of the presence of God. What does biblical courage look like? Well, biblical courage looks like knowing the one who goes with you, the one who leads and guides. God's promise to Joshua is going to find its fullest expression in the teachings of Jesus himself. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me over to Matthew chapter 6? Matthew chapter 6. Jesus addresses the same fear, the same inner turmoil and struggle that Joshua faced. In Matthew 6, Jesus speaks to people whose hearts are weighed down by concern for provision, for their security, for the future. And he names the quiet anxieties that we face in everyday life. Look at verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6 with me. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious about itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus is not dismissing real needs here. He's inviting his followers to locate those needs within the care of a faithful Father. He points to the birds and lilies not as sentimental images, but as reminders that God's care reaches into the ordinary rhythms of life and creation. The Father sees. He knows. He alone can provide for what we need in life most. And then Jesus gives a clear reordering of life. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Do we notice the same pattern that we see in Joshua? Obedience comes first. Trust precedes the visible provision. Courage grows as our confidence shifts from what we can see to God's provision. Joshua leads God's people into the land of rest, and he also leads them in their soul to find rest. He offers freedom from anxiety, grounded in trust and sustained by the Holy Spirit. And that promise of presence and provision does not only meet us in moments of decision, it actually sustains us across all of life for a lifetime. I think about the hymn, Amazing Grace. It's what we celebrated in Easter time last year. But there's something wonderful about that hymn and how it speaks honestly about the Christian life. The hymn speaks of grace teaching the heart to fear rightly and relieving the fears that weaken our trust. Grace shapes reverence, and it also restores confidence. But then the hymn Amazing Grace speaks of endurance. It says these words, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Notice how these words don't describe a fearless life. What they're describing is a sustained life. This is where we pull back to the book of Joshua and realize that his courage is formed for a long obedience, not a single moment. God's grace accompanies his people through uncertainty with faithfulness, and perseverance. With that in mind, this passage now invites us to consider how it is that we'll respond today. We should examine our own hearts before we move forward in our worship service. It's important for us to pause and consider how is this landing in us? How's it kind of landing on us? What claims does this passage make on us? For some, fear shows up as hesitation. You sense God's direction, and yet you delay obedience because the cost feels uncertain. For others, it looks like control. You continue moving, but only within the boundaries that feel safe. You might even use biblical language to try to justify those boundaries. But others, fear has settled into a weariness. A weariness not just for your muscles, but a weariness in your own soul. You feel like you don't even know what to pray anymore. Obedience has continued, but your confidence feels thin and fragile. And isn't the good news for us this morning that when we come to God truthfully and humbly, that grace meets us in the person and work of Jesus Christ in that very moment? This is a moment for us in our own hearts to name the fears that we are facing, not the things that make us scared like a jump scare, not the things that our transitions in life that we don't know what the other side of that looks like. I'm talking about that existential fear. What will it look like for the presence of God to go with me? For those who've already put their trust in Christ, this is an invitation to entrust again what fear has tightened your grip around. God's promises remain steady. His presence has not wavered, but for others, the fear beneath everything reaches even deeper than that. For some here listening this morning, the deepest fear that you may face is not about circumstances or decisions. It's about where you stand before a holy God. The good news of the gospel speaks directly to that fear. Jesus faced an ultimate abandonment so that those who trust him would never be forsaken. He obeyed perfectly where we have hesitated. He bore judgment so that grace could meet us without fear. Judgment that we deserved, fear that we ourselves bring. Joshua leads God's people into a land of rest, but Jesus leads his people into a rest in our souls, no longer needed to be weary. In Matthew 6, Jesus spoke to our anxious hearts, reminding those anxious hearts that God sees, he knows, more importantly, he cares. He calls his followers to seek the kingdom first, trusting that God's care will follow. If you've never entrusted your life to Christ, this is an invitation to that rest, not to fix yourself, not to overcome fear on your own, but to receive forgiveness, to understand how that leads to peace with God, and understand what it looks like now to live a new life through Jesus Christ. So this morning, whether you're responding as a believer or coming to Christ for the first time, God is inviting the same posture of humility before him. Joshua 1, 3 through 9 teaches us that courage grows where this trust is formed. God establishes confidence through his promises. He shapes our obedience through his word, and he steadies our faith through his presence. Isn't that good news for us today, church? Christ brings a new beginning that reaches far beyond Joshua. It reaches to each and every one of us today. The Spirit sustains that obedience now. He points us to the future promises of complete rest in God's presence in a day to come. Where obedience today may feel heavy for you, look to the God who supplies your strength. Where fear may be pressing in for you, look to the God who is so near and so present. Be strong. Be courageous. The Lord your God is with you. Church, can we stand and respond together?